It's on the Isle of Man, and we had 3 or 4 cases last week in particular, so there was a noticed increase.
Is there a particular age range this sextortion affects?
We're finding it's younger people, because for a couple of reasons. Younger people are more likely to share images, just the way of the world. And that's something that we would advise against, that whatever you put out there online is online for people to see forever, basically. And also, younger people can be more vulnerable because they're emotionally maybe can be a little bit more upset by these sort of things. Older people can sometimes be more robust if images are shared, although it's not ideal. But younger people, it can really impact on them because of the, their friendship groups and their friends finding out about it, which the offenders sort of play on.
You mentioned 3 or 4 instances of this happening recently. I know you can't go into much depth, but can you sort of elaborate a little bit more on what some of those cases involved?
Yeah, one particular thing of note, we've noticed since lockdowns really, that the fraudsters are doing some research on the Isle of Man. So in some of these cases, the pretend profiles that have been used to befriend the people are, people from villages, towns on the Isle of Man working at local companies with local, localised images, whereas the fraudsters are probably somewhere on the other side of the world. They do use research, looking at Google, looking at, Manx adverts or whatever to sort of tailor the advert to suit the local market, if you will. And we see that in lots of areas as well. We see that in business fraud. We see that in romance fraud, which is a sort of similar sort of thing, but sometimes a sort of older sort of age group.
How do they strike up a relationship with the victims?
The internet now is designed for people to communicate. So messages, chat rooms, Tinder, whatever, however they start, can be a direct message. So it's designed to be easy to communicate to people now. So whatever the method is that starts up the conversation, they'll often find they'll then move that conversation away to a sort of communication method that suits them. So it might start up on Facebook, but it'll be moved away to WhatsApp or emails quite quickly. So it's out of the gaze, if you will.
And what advice would you give to people who find themselves in this position?
Talk to somebody about it. The first thing would be don't give up your details. Don't put out those images in the first place. Don't pay the ransom, because if you do, they'll just ask again. They know they've got someone who's willing to pay. Speak to someone that you trust. It's an embarrassing subject, but speak to someone that you know and trust. And, contact the police if you are, sometimes people don't want to speak to the police. Speak to someone, but contact the police and we can deal with them. We can give advice, basically. We've got people in departments who can speak to. And what we're asking people now is to report things on this cyber reporting point. So that's via the police webpage, via the government webpage, and the department that Al works down in, Oxia. The reports can come through to us, and they don't necessarily need to go to the police, and they will be dealt with, confidentially. If they need to go to the police, they will, but Oxia can give advice if people don't, aren't comfortable in speaking to the police.
I would imagine that confidentiality would be important, especially if this is impacting a lot of younger people, and particularly younger women. And like you say, it is an embarrassing topic. It's a very vulnerable, invasive thing. So, yeah, if you could give sort of one line on really encouraging people to come forward and speak up so they don't feel trapped, like they're too ashamed, even though it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. That shame can be really embedded in people. So what would you say to encourage people to come forward?
That it is an issue that they might be embarrassed about, but at least speak to somebody about it, get some advice, if it's a parent or a good friend or a teacher or anyone, social worker, youth worker, speak to someone and discuss the topic, because if it's a problem is shared, it's that you can get advice that you might not have thought of. And if you are in a situation where you're really, really worried about it, you need to speak to someone. The police will deal with it confidentially. If we're the people that you speak to, that's fine. We're not going to discuss it with anyone else. We can give advice, but speak to someone about it. But we would go back to the initial thing would be, don't share images online, because unless you know that person and you know them personally and you can vouch for them, you can't guarantee what that person is going to do, and it's probably not the person that you think it is.
What steps do the police take after someone's come forward?
There's a couple of things we do. We work with an investigation in an anonymous way, so we don't use the specifics of that person. But in this case that we've identified, we've passed the details of the scammer. We've had those passed to ourselves, and we will link in with agencies across and share that information at some point down the line. And what we do in Oxia is cumulative data. So we're looking at the bigger picture on the island, what's going on, and pass that into as a package to agencies across, who are probably seeing that that the issue as well, again on an even bigger scale, and then using that information to take down what essentially OCGs, organised criminal gangs, or you know, nation states sometimes can get involved in scams and things like that.
Many people might jump to that as being, as we said, it's younger people, potentially high schoolers, sending images of themselves to people and getting exploited that way. But actually, older people who might be really lonely and not have anyone close to them can be targeted just as easily emotionally as well.
It certainly can, and I have to be careful about confidentiality, but I know officers have come across a person who was middle-aged, very upset in a public area in Douglas, and when they've actually started speaking to this person, they'd actually run out of money. They were trying to get money from a cash machine to pay off a scammer, and when they'd explained what was going on, it was clear that the scammer wasn't an American service person, which they initially thought it was. They knew that the scammer lived somewhere else in the world, but even though they knew that, they still wanted to carry on speaking to this scammer and giving them money because they were getting some sort of human interaction with this person, which is desperately sad because this person is obviously living on their own in the Isle of Man, surrounded by loads of people. So they were putting we put a lot of work into that to speak to that person, trying to find friends, trying to get them contact with social services, whatever help we could give them to sort of make them feel not alone, basically. And that's that thing of feeling like you're living alone in a busy world, which is sad. And social media gives you a way out of that, but it also gives you a way out to meet scammers.
And of course, I mean, we're talking about sextortion, but in terms of vulnerable people of all ages being attacked and targeted online, what advice could you give to them?
Well, it's a good point, first of all, that it is vulnerable people, and that can mean a wide range of things. So a vulnerable person can be someone who's actually knows a lot about technology and thinks they're okay, and there can be gaps in what they know, or they try to buy some software that to make themselves secure and it doesn't work. It can be an older person who's lonely, and they can be victim to romance scams, and we've had a lot of those on the Isle of Man where they befriend someone and it's given them what they want, it's given them someone to talk to, but at some point it then turns into an abusive relationship in terms of they're taking cash off them. And you know, that can go on for quite a while, and we've had people who've lost literally hundreds of thousands of pounds on the Isle of Man, and that has an impact not just on them but on the whole family in terms of finances and being able to support those people. It can be people who are vulnerable because they share too much. It can be people who are vulnerable because they might have special needs. We've had people who have had special needs have been targeted, which is really, you know, it's not on at all, obviously. And I think it's a case of we just need to be careful about what information we share.
You went through the points of what the police would do if someone comes forward to you with this issue. But I would imagine it's not as simple as just being able to catch every fraudster that tries to scam someone on the internet.
It's not, and in a way it's frustrating that, you know, I'm a police officer, Al's an ex-police officer. We like to catch criminals. We like to get the bad guys and we like to deal with them. In a lot of these cases, the people that do the offending are off Ireland. In fact, in the vast majority of the cases. So what we need to do really is preventative work. So we want to stop it happening in the first place. But if with the information we do get, we gather that information up and we deal with partners across, and those partners across end up taking down scammers, often quite large operations. So people may think, why am I reporting this? What's it going to do? Well, we can offer that local advice, but it's also going to play part of the bigger picture, and that will have a benefit for hundreds, thousands of people. So if we take an offender out, working with an agency across, those offenders they'll be out of action, basically, and that can stop thousands of crimes happening further down the line. So everything that people do does help, which is why we ask people to report it on the cyber reporting point, which one of the easiest ways is on the police website, ironpolice.im, or you can find it on the government pages, and that will really help. And even things like fake emails or scam emails we see coming through, if they're reported to the SERS, so SERS@oxia.im, again, you might not think that actually helps, but that one email could be the last piece in the puzzle that solves a bigger issue. So as much information as we get, please, and it does help. And we work as part of a bigger sort of worldwide organisation of law enforcement agencies that deal with scammers.